This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We miss college football.
Jenty, his first touch. And typical Ashton Jenty. Look at him go! You can't bring him down! Is he? Yes, he will!
We can't wait for the 2025 season.
Bo Howard with third and 11. He'll throw it. He's going for it. Jeremiah Smith, one-on-one. Game, set, match. Whenever you needed it, you got it. Will Howard to Jeremiah Smith. Biggest play of the game.
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we'll preview the Big Ten right now with Ben Hartsock, who played at Ohio State. Now does a great job, Sirius XM Big Ten Radio, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Ben, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Man, good. Excited. Well, we got four more weekends till toe meets leather, so we're getting close.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we know, I know there's week zero, but then you do have week one, and the Buckeyes start off the season with the bang in maybe the biggest game and the most like highly publicized game of the season happening in week one up against Texas. I can't wait to see how that game plays out. I don't think there's a ton of pressure in terms of winning a national championship for Ohio State this year. I think they got to beat Michigan after just winning a championship last year. But you take a look at Texas. Oh, boy, buckle up with Arch Manning now getting the keys to the Ferrari for the Longhorns.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. Two new starting quarterbacks. Arch has obviously some starting experience going back to last season and packages throughout the year. But I think most people are taking a reasoned approach. It's, you know, there are those who want to anoint him because he is the closest thing we have to American royalty being a Manning, certainly sports royalty. But I expect Arch to have a first year. You know, it's going to, you know, we expect the upside. I was a teammate with his uncle with the Colts, and growing for Arch, maybe his biggest advantage is growing up within a family that you have the experience. I tell a lot about, you don't know until you get into a college environment what's like, that's like, unless you have a family member that grew up in it or that was in it that you grew up around. So for him to have been around the pro game and the college game is a huge advantage. That as big of a deal as it is to walk into the Horseshoe as a first time starter, he walked in doing that when his uncles were doing that. So there is a bit of a mental advantage for him in that situation. But he's going to be up and down. He's going to make bad plays. For crying out loud, if he was so good, he would have beaten out Quinn Ewers a year ago, but he didn't. So I expect him to be good, not great. I certainly wouldn't crown him the Heisman Trophy winner the way he's being crowned right now.
Do you anticipate when week one does roll around that Julian Sain is going to be the starting quarterback for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, that seems to be the case, and you know, it's there's a lot of speculation about him versus, well, the Big Ten as a whole, I guess, is looking at the experience of Drew Aller at Penn State versus the unknown of Julian Sain at Ohio State, and there's a trend in college football, so now that it's a professional model, that guys are staying longer. For crying out loud, the national championship game had two multi-year starters in Will Howard and Riley Leonard. So you take a guy like Aller that hasn't quite lived up to the five-star billing, but he's thrown the ball 900 times in his 3 years as a starter, now his third year as a starter, and that experience is valuable. But if Julian Sain steps in and lives up to the hype that we expect, and it's very quickly Ohio State will pass Penn State as kind of the favorite in the conference. And I think it's worth pointing out for both Arch Manning, Julian Sain, or even a Bryce Underwood, who's going to be the starting quarterback at Michigan this year, who's a true freshman, there is no more runway. We used to, as a sporting fan base, would give first-year starters a little bit of grace of let them take their lumps, let them take their highs and lows. No, the expectation for Buckeye fans is this guy should take them into a playoff and hopefully a national championship. Same way for Arch Manning, same way for Bryce Underwood, maybe not a national championship or bust, but you better get Michigan back up to where they want to be. It doesn't matter that you're a year one starter. We've shortened the runway on everybody, and certainly starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, and NIL has to play a factor into that as well, because it changes the entire way how we evaluate these kids. But I was talking about in the newsroom before the show, Ben Hartsock, and somebody asked me, who do you think is going to start week one for Michigan? And I'm like, I think now it's going to be Bryce Underwood. You know, you have this Ferrari, don't let it sit in the driveway, start to drive it a little bit.
Well, and there's a debate that I enjoy, that the discussion of, let's say that you don't want to damage Bryce Underwood, right? You, like you say, if he's a Ferrari in your driveway, do you want to send him to Oklahoma in week two to face off against that program that's dying to get back to relevance? You know, that maybe you let Mikey Keene take those lumps and let Underwood learn under, doing Aaron Rodgers under Brett Favre, like learn from the master. But I don't think fans are willing to wait that anymore. And it comes down to temperament.
And you know what the other thing is, Ben? Sorry to cut you off. Are the players willing to wait? Because if you have a kid making all this money and he's not playing right away, maybe he just says after year one, I'll go elsewhere and cash in once again.
Yeah, I would be shocked. Let's say that Sherrone Moore wanted to spoon feed, slowly introduce the talented quarterback, kind of like we saw what happened when Cade McNamara was benched for J.J. McCarthy. I by the end of the year, he'll be the starter. So I don't look at that so much as a pushback. It's just if it's temperament of the quarterback. If Underwood has that cocky streak that you can throw him to the wolves and say, hey, you're going to take your lumps, and let him play through that, kind of like Peyton Manning was his rookie year. Like Peyton Manning, his rookie year at the Colts, still famously holds the most interceptions for rookie record, most interceptions for a rookie to this day. But they knew that he had the gumption. He had the temperament to ride with that. But if you have another player that can get gun shy, if you go out and you throw three or four picks, if he goes out and plays in Oklahoma and gets boat raced, that can be damaging in a way that you can sometimes derail a player's career. I mean, to a lesser extent, Dylan Raiola last year was having some struggles. There was the loss to Illinois that he missed a real wide open opportunity and kind of lost the game, symbolically at his hand. And they needed to do damage control. Like, that happens to college quarterbacks. These guys can all make the throws, but can you navigate the highs and lows of learning how to be a grizzled veteran? And I saw the Nebraska Cornhuskers take the foot off of the gas, bringing in Dana Holgorsen was a part of that. But for Underwood, I'll be interested to see how they handle him, because he will be the starter by the end of the year. But do they spoon feed him like the Harbaugh era, or are they going to put him out there and let him take his lumps? I think will be an interesting facet.
Let's go to Nebraska, since you mentioned briefly there Dylan Raiola. I have big expectations for him in year two. I think people are sleeping on him, and I think this Nebraska team, I'm looking at like 8 or 9 wins this year, and I lean more towards 8, but I think they could have a really good season here.
Yeah, their schedule is, I've described it as accessible. I'm not saying it's playoff or bust, but their schedule lines up that if they take that next step, if they continue on the trajectory that we've seen them going, and a big part of that is going to be on Raiola's back, this is a team that could be in that Illinois discussion, that Indiana discussion from a year ago. Their schedule is good. Raiola needs to score more points. Like I said, I think that there was a conscious choice to take the ball out of Raiola's hand a little bit later in the season. and let him develop. And I expect that to be the case with the new offensive coordinator this year, that they're going to roll back onto him to say, okay, now you know what these looks look like. You know what these stadium environments are like. So he needs to take that next step. And they bring in the transfer wide receiver's name escapes me. I don't have it here in front of me. I'm out of my home. But they've got they've got a mixture of wide receiver talent that's got a little more experience and a guy or two from the outside that should take them to that next direction. And the defense continues to have playmakers, couple that with their advantageous schedule. And I think as long as Raiola continues to improve on it, what I would say was a reasonable first year as a starter, Nebraska could be making waves at the conference.
Ben Hartsock, what did you make of Cignetti's comments the other day? Because like part of him is right. If the SEC is going to schedule that way, we may as well schedule three cupcakes basically as well. But then there's another part of me that I'm just irate with the constant bitch fest that goes on between the Big Ten and the SEC. And like both conferences just admit that, hey, they're pretty much similar these days. I know there's a difference in the one conference game, but these conferences are now on par with one another.
Yeah, it's kind of like sometimes someone cuts you off in traffic and there's a reasonable way to respond that if someone cuts you off in traffic, and then there's the way that Kurt Cignetti would respond if he got cut off in traffic. He's an inflammatory guy, and it's going to be love it or hate it. But I've had people ask about what's up with Indiana canceling the game with Virginia. And I understand that from a competitiveness. It's perplexing when Cignetti is so cocky saying that we'll take on anybody and everybody, but then you eliminate a Power Four opponent in the future. Those things seem to be at odds with each other. But the bottom line is the structure it dictates in this situation, that Virginia game, it does no good for Indiana. Ohio State needs a Texas game to continue to, just build its brand bigger. Mm-hmm. But if you're a working class program like Indiana or Illinois or Nebraska trying to get up into that level of the upper end programs, you don't have the margin to put yourself at risk to play Virginia and potentially lose. It's not going to, if they continue, well, Indiana last year played all group of five or lower opponents and they make it into the playoff. So adding a Power Four opponent, all that does is add unnecessary risk. And we are very much building these schedules nowadays to mitigate risk to get these teams into the playoff.
At the end of the year, is Illinois in the playoff in your opinion? Because there's a lot of buzz with Bielma and Altmaier going into the season.
So they bring back, if not all, four, maybe, or all of their offensive linemen. Caden Fagan, the running back, is a quality, a Big Ten caliber running back. Luke Altmaier, another guy with a huge amount of experience, cleaned up the turnovers from a year ago. They've got players at all three levels on the defensive side of the ball. So they have the framework. It's just thin. One injury to one of those players, you lose Altmaier, you lose Fagan, you lose their DB that's going to be a first-round draft pick, or an early-round draft pick at the end of the year. The next guy in, it's not like Ohio State. Ohio State lost two of its interior offensive linemen late in the season, and the next guys that step in are just the next generation NFL guys. So it teeters on the ability for Illinois, everybody to stay healthy. That's one of the unheralded parts of Indiana's run last year, is everybody stayed healthy. Shoot, Curtis Rourke even had a thumb injury, but he never missed time, and that's another part of that recipe. Illinois has the guys to play, has the guys to compete for a playoff spot. They have a schedule that allows them to compete for a playoff spot. The only unknown at this point is their health.
I know Luke Fickell and Lincoln Riley, right? They seem like great hires when USC and Wisconsin made them. Is there any optimism that they're going to turn it around to their current institutions?
More optimistic about USC because of the fact that they are, I at least know what they are. They improved their defense from a year ago. They found their quarterback in Jaden Maiava. And so I see a path and a recipe that I feel like I know what I'm getting with USC. Wisconsin, unfortunately, I mean, guys, it's like bowl eligibility is kind of where this thing looks. And I would probably lean on the not being bowl eligible. And it's like stop and think for a second. We're talking about the Big Ten Conference, and we're talking about, okay, those mid-pack teams that could compete. And we're talking about Indiana, Nebraska, and Illinois. 5 years ago, we would have laughed at that conversation. And the fact that we're saying Wisconsin, USC, and Washington are the ones that are on the bottom third of the conference. Like, what world, how quickly this world can turn on its ear. So I hate that for Wisconsin, because I mean, nobody lost worse in the elimination of the divisions in the conference worse than Wisconsin. They were a perennial Big Ten West, which made them a Big Ten title game contender, to now bottom third within the league. The home run hire that was Luke Fickell, all of that good vibe is gone. The attempt at going air raid was a complete failure. Luke Fickell said as much a year ago. Now he has to start from scratch. This feels like a new year one, because he's starting over, trying to get back to what Wisconsin offensively was. But the problem is, going back to that runway argument, coaches don't get near as long a runway as they did in the past. So it's not a hot seat situation for him. It's just not gone. It's gone as poorly as it could have gone for what we thought was a home run hire.
We know that the Ducks of Oregon were great in the regular season, obviously not losing a game. And then come postseason time, sure, they won the Big Ten championship, but then the long layoff, they get smacked by the Buckeyes. You go into this year with the Ducks, what are you expecting out of them as they respond to the bitter ending to their season?
Yeah, it's they came in and won the Big Ten conference, and so they should feel proud of the accomplishment. The biggest question I have for Oregon, though, is this is the first time in the brief head coaching era of Dan Lanning is he's going to have a quarterback without experience. Two prior were Dylan Gabriel and Bo Nix, both of those guys, huge quantities of experience under center. So now you've got a new guy sitting there. You lose Evan Stewart to the patellar tendon injury in spring practice. They've got plenty of talent coming in to replace all these guys. They've got guys all over the place. Mateo Uyunglele on the defensive side of the ball will anchor that defense. But I think the most interesting facet of Oregon this year is the fact that they have a new quarterback in Dante Moore without a ton of playing experience.
And then also, when I look at Penn State, I know you touched on them a little bit. I'm usually not optimistic about Penn State winning big games because I just don't trust Drew Aller and James Franklin in those big games. But there's been a lot of buzz there, and even I have looked at them and said, okay, maybe this is their year. When you read on Penn State and you look at them, what is that read?
Well, let's zoom out even a little bit more. For Penn State, if Penn State does slay its dragon and get a national championship, that is a massive win for the Big Ten Conference as a whole, right? Right. You mentioned all of the fighting between the SEC and the Big Ten over who's the greatest. If the Big Ten can have three straight years of national championships and have three different champions, would be such a mark. I can see the marketing posts for the next months for the Big Ten Conference as a whole. So that would be a win for the Big Ten. But for Penn State fans specifically, it is, if not now, when. It really is. So they bring in Trevor Pena. They bring in one other transfer wide receiver. I can't remember where he came from off the top of my head. But they bring in guys. But they lose Tyler Warren. Like, we've been joking. I've been listening to the guys at Big Ten Media Days, and they're talking about Tyler Warren was 50%, 70%, well, 1,000,000% of their production from offense a year ago is gone. But they bring back both of their running backs. They bring in some wide receivers that hopefully pan out the way that last year's crop of wide receivers did not. And you've got Drew Aller, like I said, 900 throws under his belt is a huge advantage. And it's not just the fact that they bring back that talent, their offensive line returns guys as well. It's not just that. It's that Ohio State is passing a baton, new quarterback, uncertainty there. Michigan passing a baton, uncertainty there. Oregon. So it's not just the fact that you have a bunch of talent, it's also that your main competitors this year have some uncertainty. So that if not now, when vibe is very, very prevalent in Happy Valley.
The last thing I'll ask you, Ben Hartsock, when you look at the value of the game, because Ohio State, right, they win the national championship, but they didn't beat Michigan. And I go into this year, I'm like, okay, Ryan Day has to beat Michigan. But even if he doesn't, right, we just saw they could still go win a national championship. In this new era of college football, where I still think the rivalry of Ohio State and Michigan is the best rivalry that the sport does have, how do you value the game now?
Yeah, it's as awkward as trying to eat your cereal with your non-dominant hand. It's weird. It feels so awkward that in a terrible situation. I was at that game. I took my family to that game last year in the Horseshoe. The fact that they lost the game, but they still It was the best case scenario to the worst possible situation. Winning the national championship but losing to Michigan. Yeah, I still can't. It's the most unreasonable facet of my fandom that I can't get past. Usually I can, as a broadcast and as a college football analyst, I can disconnect from my fandom. This one is hard because everybody says, just, hey, don't worry about the Michigan game. Don't worry about it. No, we're worried about it. So here's what's bizarre is we won the championship, but we still feel like there's this asterisk that we're inflicting upon ourselves as Ohio State fans to say it's not enough. So we've got to go back this year and take care of that Michigan situation. But the reality is, we could, let's say in the next 3 to 5 years, 5 to 7 years, Ohio State wins another title or two, but loses the majority of the games to Michigan. I don't know how to wreck it. It's like balancing a checkbook. I don't know how to balance that account in my mind. But again, that goes back to the unprecedented era in history. Never in the 150 plus years of college football every time before this, beating Michigan was step one before you could then go to a Big Ten championship and then go to a national championship run. We've now disconnected that. You can skip that Michigan step and still achieve all of your goals. And I will tell you, as an analyst and as a fan, I don't know how to reconcile that.
One more just off of that. Would you rather this year, just winning the national championship a year ago, would you rather beat Michigan this year or win another national championship?
It is such a hard conversation to have. I know that the right answer is a national championship, but again, it feels like I'm punching myself in the face as soon as I say that.
Yeah, Ben Hartsock. You know what, Ben? Go blue, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Twist the knife. Why did you send me off?
Appreciate the time, Ben. You're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam! Walk off, baby! This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.